ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामयहं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधाकांत नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमा ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नीति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्तादेशतारिणे। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to be here and speak about Srimati Radharani's Radha Kund appearance and Shyam Kund's appearance. Before I get into that, I was just going to speak about something that is very much in my memory, recollections, takes me back to 1977 when Srila Prabhupada was here. This tamal tree was much smaller those days, and every morning Prabhupada used to come, sit here facing Radha, Shyam Sundar, Lalita, Vishakha. Devotees used to chant Kirtan, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra Kirtan, and the Gurukul boys used to dance in front of Srila Prabhupada. And it was such a wonderful sight. Often Srila Prabhupada used to clap. And at that time Prabhupada actually gave a new mantra. Yesterday I heard that mantra being chanted in the temple. What is Maharaj's name? Janardhan Maharaj. Yeah. What's Janardhan Maharaj's name? Okay. So everyone knows. Janardhan Maharaj, during the kirtan actually, he chanted that mantra from the background. He was tasting the mic, and while tasting the mic, he was chanting the mantra. Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam Jai Krishna Balaram. Srila Prabhupada gave that mantra to overshadow this loud chanting of Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam next door, next to the guest house, next to Srila Prabhupada's quarters. There was this Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam people, and they used to chant the whole night. And whole day, of course. During the days, the sound was not that loud, but at night it became really, really loud. And so Prabhupada gave this mantra, Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam Jai Krishna Balaram. Krishna Balaram's Mandir's chanting. Those days the Gurukul boys used to go to Jamuna every afternoon to take bath, and Prabhupada wanted to sing that song in a marching tune. Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam Jai Krishna Balaram. And they used to do that like all the time while they're walking. They used to chant marching towards Jamuna. Those days were such a wonderful days. Although Srila Prabhupada came to Vrindavan to leave his body, but none of us thought that Srila Prabhupada would leave his body. Even few days before leaving his body, Srila Prabhupada was so agile. He was bedridden. His body was emaciated. When I told Srila Prabhupada, when Srila Prabhupada came back from London and Prabhupada called me back to Vrindavan, I was in Mayapur. So I received a telegram from Tamal Krishna Maharaj asking me to come to Vrindavan immediately. So I came, I arrived here in the evening and Srila Prabhupada was lying down. So Upendra Prabhu asked me to come into Prabhupada's room. So I went, and at one time coughing, Srila Prabhupada woke up. So Upendra Prabhu went to Srila Prabhupada and told him that I came. So Prabhupada said, ask him to come. So then Prabhupada asked me to prop him up, to sit down, to sit up. So I helped Srila Prabhupada to sit up and propped him up with the pillows. And then I told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you became so thin. And Prabhupada said, yes, now this body is a set of bones in a bag of skin. And it was literally like that. Srila Prabhupada's body emaciated to that point. It was just a set of bones in a bag of skin. But although Srila Prabhupada's body was so emaciated, and apparently he was so sick, but there was a wonderful glow from his body. And there was a beautiful fragrance also. Like, generally Srila Prabhupada used to have his massage before taking his bath with mustard oil and with a mixture of mustard oil and sandalwood oil. So Prabhupada's body used to have a beautiful fragrance, but those days Srila Prabhupada didn't take baths, Srila Prabhupada didn't take oil massage for many, many weeks. But still Prabhupada's body had such a beautiful fragrance. And I remember one time Bhagavat Prabhu lifted that chadar, that it was a woolen chadar that he used to use for covering Srila Prabhupada's body at night. And he, while folding that, he took it and he smelled it and he showed it to me. He took it to me and said, "See how fragrant this chadar is." So that shows Srila Prabhupada's transcendental personality. Like, there was a beautiful glow, as if our mundane eyes couldn't see the effulgence, but it appeared as if there was a glow in his body. But actually it was Srila Prabhupada's transcendental aura, Srila Prabhupada's transcendental effulgence emanating from his body. So the recollections, the remembrance of those days are very vivid, rather becomes very vivid when I come to Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So today is Bahulashtami, the eighth day in the month of Damodar. The movement of moon actually makes the Vedic calculation, or rather general calculation of the months in the Vedic calendar, from new moon, from full moon to new moon, and then new moon to full moon. 15 days make a month. And in the first half of the waning period of moon, on the eighth day, this took place, appearance of Sri Sri Radha Kund. Kamsa was trying to kill Krishna and Balaram, and he was sending the demons one after another. As you know, the first one was Putana, then Shakatasura, Trinavarta, Bakasura, Aghasura, Batsasura. So gradually, one after another, demons were being sent, and they were extremely powerful individuals, extremely powerful. And so much so that they could even defeat the demigods. With their help, Kamsa defeated the demigods. And he did not stay in the heavenly planet to rule over, but he got the throne of Indra and brought it to Mathura. Kamsa was so powerful. But he was sending those demons one after another, but Krishna was killing them. The one before the last was Arishtasura. So many demons had been killed one after another. Arishtasura was extremely powerful demon. Assumed in the form of a bull, Arishtasura came to Vrindavan. gigantic form as it was moving with its each step. It seemed that the earth was trembling in an earthquake. And seeing him, all the cowherd boys and cowherd girls became extremely afraid and they ran away. Krishna assured them, there's nothing to worry about. So it is not that the devotees do not get afraid. Devotees also do get afraid at some occasions. But Krishna gives them the assurance, don't worry, I am here. So Krishna took his chadar, wrapped it around his waist and tied it up, prepared to fight. So Adishtasura came, attacking Krishna. Krishna just caught Adishtasura by his horns and just smashed him on the ground. Adishtasura became even more angry. So it again attacked. But this time Krishna just passed his attack, escaped his attack and went behind him, held him by the tail and started to swing him. And threw him 16 miles away. So Adishtasura, when he landed, he was fainted for a short while. Then again he came back and attacked Krishna. This is the description from Garga Samhita, Krishna's fight with Adishtasura. And he attacked. This time, with his horn, he picked up a mountain and threw it towards Krishna. Krishna easily caught the mountain and threw it back to Adishtasura. Again, Adishtasura fainted. These demons are so powerful, although they faint, immediately they actually get up. And in this way, for quite a long time, the fight actually went on. Then finally, Krishna caught Adishtasura by his horns and started to swing him, swing him, swing him, and then smashed. It has been described just as a little boy picks up a kamandalu, water pot, and smashes it. In India, they use the water pot out of pumpkin. Dry pumpkin, they empty the inside and cut it. As one part, half of the thing becomes a handle, the other half becomes a water pot. So Krishna smashed him. Adishtasura is dead. So after killing Adishtasura, Krishna went to Srimati Radharani. As Krishna approached her, Radharani said, please don't touch me. Krishna said, what happened? What did I do? What did I do? You killed a cow. And you're asking, what did I do? Well, it was a demon. But still, it was a cow. So you have committed the sin of killing a cow. So you become so sinful, please don't touch me. And then Krishna asked, so tell me then, what should I do to get purified? She said, go to all the holy places and take a dip in the water of the holy places. All the holy places in India are situated, not only in India, all over the universe, that's what she said. They all are situated on the bank of some river or a lake. So she said that, go take bath in all the holy places. Krishna said, fine, if that is the condition. So Krishna struck the ground with his heel. And immediately a cavity was created. And all the holy places appeared, personified holy places with their water. The place became filled up with water. And all the tirthas, the personified holy places, started to offer their prayers to Krishna. So, and now it is Krishna's turn. Krishna told Radharani, so, now you have become sinful for siding with a demon. So, how are you going to get purified? So Radharani got together with her other friends, had a short discussion, and said, we have to match Krishna's wonderful fit. We'll also dig a kund, a lake. How to do it? We'll do it with the bangles. They took out their bangles and started to dig the earth. And soon, a lake was created, but it was empty. It was an empty hole. So they decided to get the water from Manasi Ganga, but Manasi Ganga is quite far away. So they lined up, all the gopis lined up all the way to Manasi Ganga, and they carried, taking the bucket one after another and passing it to the next person. And soon they filled it up. And then Radharani requested Krishna, Krishna, please allow your holy tirthas also to come here in this. So that is how Radha Kund appeared. Although it has been described that the water of Shyam Kund and Radha Kund are filled up with the water of the holy places, but actually they are transcendental water. Especially Radha Kund is liquid love of Srimati Radharani. It's not water, it's the liquefaction of Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna. So this is how Krishna performed his pastimes. Srimati Radharani performed her pastimes. The appearance of Radha Kund and Shyam Kund. Yesterday in the class, Shivra Maharaj mentioned about the significance of Krishna's pastimes, quoting the third verse from Damodarashtakam. Iti driksha lila bhir ananda kunde shaghoshan nimajjantam akkhapayantam. Iti drik, in this way, shwa lila bhir, by performing his pastimes, Krishna drowns his devotees in a pool of ecstasy. Pool of ecstasy. Just for a drop of this ecstasy or ananda, people are prepared to give up their lives. So many people have given up their lives for just a drop of ecstasy. But it's not even a drop of ecstasy, it's a perverted reflection of a drop of ecstasy. In the material nature, there is no ananda. What goes on in the name of ananda is only a perverted reflection. And commonly it is known as happiness. But happiness is not ananda. Happiness is absence of pain, cessation of pain. All of us in this material nature are in a state of suffering. Dukkhalayam. We are constantly suffering. It's a place of suffering. And when that suffering condition is warded off, or removed, then we call it happiness. dukkha nibritti, cessation of suffering, cessation of pain. Cessation of pain is happiness. But ecstasy or ananda is diametrically opposed to suffering. In simple words, it can be described like in a dark room, by lighting a lamp, we remove the darkness for some time. Only as long as the lamp burns, there is some light or removal of darkness. If darkness is compared to suffering, then this lighting a lamp is the arrangement for removing that suffering condition for the time being. That's happiness. But when one comes out of the dark room, in the broad daylight, the whole atmosphere then is full of light. When the sun comes up, there is no room for darkness. When the sun comes up, there is no need to light a lamp to remove the darkness. The darkness is automatically removed. So that is what ananda is. And there is no ananda in this material nature. It is exclusively in the spiritual asset. Just as this world is full of suffering, that world is full of joy. The spiritual world is full of joy. And how that joy is experienced? The center of that ananda is Krishna. Anandamai Abhasat. Anandamai. He is full of joy. He is the source of joy. And whoever becomes connected to him becomes joyful. Now, that joy is experienced through loving exchange. Love is the source of joy. And the joy is experienced through loving exchange. Therefore, Krishna performs his pastimes to drown his devotees in an ocean of joy because they love him. There is a loving exchange. And through that loving exchange, they enjoy. And the source of their joy is Srimati Radharani. The source of Krishna's joy is the personification of Krishna's joyous energy, Ladini Shakti. Sandhini, Sambit, and Ladini. Sandhini potency is the basis of existence. Sambit is the basis of consciousness or knowledge. And Ladini is the source of ananda, joy. And the personification of that joy is Srimati Radharani. Krishna's dealings with Srimati Radharani is the source of joy for him. The ultimate source of joy for him. These loving exchanges take place through different mellows. Servitorship, friendship, parental, and conjugal. Successively, they just get higher and higher. Friendship is higher than servitorship. Parental is higher than friendship. And conjugal is the highest. And in conjugal also, there is two aspects. Swakya and Parokya. Swakya the loving exchange between the loving exchange, loving exchange with social approval. The social approval is marriage. Through marriage, a couple become united. But parokhya is beyond that social approval or social convention. Just simply out of love, they act with towards each other. So, Krishna's loving relationship with the gopis in Vrindavan is in parokhya mellow. No consideration for social approval. Just lila-mai, ananda-mai, lila purushottam Krishna, whatever he wants to do, he's ready to do. He doesn't care about what people may think or what people may say. That's why Prabhupada was very emphatic that while we are dealing with Radha Krishna's relationship, we should be very, very careful. Very careful means with very clear and proper understanding of who Krishna is, who Srimati Radharani is. We should not mistake them to be ordinary human beings. The other day, His Holiness Badri Narayan Maharaj mentioned during his class in Kanpur, we are having our midterm GBC meeting, and Badri Narayan Maharaj recalled one incident that he heard from Ravindra Swarup Prabhu. In Philadelphia, one scholar, Indian scholar, to be more precise, a Bengali scholar, came to meet with Srila Prabhupada. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu actually brought him. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu actually brought him, invited him to meet Srila Prabhupada. So that person kept on telling Prabhupada that Krishna's dealing with the gopis were immoral. Prabhupada tried to explain that there is no question of immorality here, because when a proprietor enjoys something, then there is no question of immorality. He has all the rights. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he is the Supreme Proprietor and everyone is his property. So in whichever way he wants to deal with them is up to him. But this person just kept on insisting, no, Krishna's dealings with the gopis were immoral. And finally Prabhupada got so exasperated and upset, Prabhupada just screamed at him, your relationship with your wife is immoral. You are stealing Krishna's property and you are enjoying her. Prabhupada was so upset that with that person, that Brahmananda Maharaj was there. How many of you know Brahmananda Maharaj? He just picked up that guy and threw him. Yeah, right. Yeah, I think you better leave now. And so this is what we have to understand. Krishna is the supreme proprietor. I mean, there is no tinge of what goes on as sexual dealings in the mundane world. What to speak of Vrindavan, even to enter into Brahma Jyoti, one has to become free from sex desire. There is no room for sex desire in the spiritual world. That means there is no room for such concept of enjoyment there. We have to give up the concept of enjoyment, the tendency to enjoy in that way. in order to enter into the spiritual world. So what to speak of the topmost region of the spiritual world? Golok Vrindavan. The problem is, Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are like the dealings between human beings. Why? Because Krishna's form is like that of a human being. Krishna's form is like that of a human being. Actually, the reality is, Krishna very mercifully gave us this form, which is his personal form. Vrindavan form, two armed forms are the reflected in the human beings on the earth planet. Krishna's Vaikuntha form, the four armed forms are reflected in the heavenly planets. The demigods are with four hands. So that shows how fortunate we are. Krishna's original form is two-handed. Krishnero jateko khela, tar modhe noro lila, noro bopu taharo sharup. Of all of Krishna's pastimes, his human-like pastimes are most exalted. Because his human-like form is his original form, Swarup. So in that form, Krishna deals with his devotees in Vrindavan. And if we think, if we mistake the reflection that we got, that we are made of, and our dealings are synonymous to Krishna's dealings, or Krishna's dealings are synonymous to our dealings, then we are making a big, big mistake. Not only a big mistake, a very, very dangerous mistake. So we should be very, very careful. Krishna's dealings with the gopis of Vrindavan is simply the most exalted loving relationship, loving exchange. And therefore, out of this loving exchange, Krishna derives is his highest ecstasy. So, to make that point, I'll just give you certain understanding. Like Krishna has a loving relationship with Srimati Radharani, and okay, maybe I should make this point first, that you see, in loving exchange, when there is an obstacle, then the love becomes intensified. Whenever there is obstacle, love becomes, the intensity of love becomes extended or increased. And that's why this arrangement, not direct loving exchange. There is obstacles, there are impediments. And that makes the loving exchange so exciting. Therefore, in Vrindavan, not only that Krishna is not married to Srimati Radharani, Radharani is actually married to somebody else, Abhimanyu. Now, who is this Abhimanyu? Abhimanyu actually is Krishna's shadow. So Radharani got married to Krishna's shadow. So is there any difference between Krishna's shadow and Krishna? Yes, difference, but the source of the origin of the shadow is Krishna himself. And not only that, do you remember that one year, for one full year, Krishna expanded himself into all the cowherd boys and the calves. So that year, Krishna told Nanda Maharaj, this is a very good year for all the girls to get married. So all the girls got married to all different cowherd boys. So who did they get married to? So from whichever you look at it, there is no consideration of immorality as such. Everything is perfect. Everything is perfectly arranged. I mean, if any moralist comes and says something, Krishna covered it up. that anyway. So Krishna has that kind of dealing, like obstacles, like, and it, they appear to be very funny incidences. Like one, this is from Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami is describing. One day Abhimanyu came to his mother and said, "Mother, for a few days I'll go away, so please bless me." "So where are you going, my son?" "I'll go because there is some business." "Okay, take care of yourself and have a nice journey." So Abhimanyu left. So in the meantime, Krishna appeared as Abhimanyu. And Abhimanyu's mother, Jatila, asked, "What happened? You just left and you came back. You said that for a few days you'll be away." "Yes, mother, I was missing you so much that I thought I'll do that business some other time. I'll come and spend some time with you." "Ah, jeete raho, beta. Long live my son." She blessed him, embraced him. And in the meantime, Abhimanyu came back. "Who are you?" Jatila asked. "Mother, I'm your son. You're my son." She picked up a broomstick and started to beat him up. And then finally they realized that this is the real Abhimanyu and the other one was Krishna in disguise. So this is how they used to have they used to see that something is going on between Radha and Krishna, their son's wife. But they couldn't catch them red-handed. There have been many occasions. Like they almost came to catch him, but couldn't catch him red-handed. So one day, Kutila, Abhimanyu's sister, she heard some voices talking. She went and eavesdropped. "Yes, it's Krishna talking to Radharani." So she said, "Finally I caught you. Yeah, I'm going to catch you." So all of a sudden she opened the door and rushed in to the room. And Krishna just jumped out of the window and ran away. She saw that Krishna running away, but still she couldn't catch Krishna. But then she saw that in a hurry Krishna forgot his flute that's lying on bed. So she picked up the flute with one hand, took Radharani by other hand, took her to the courtyard, invited everybody, and very eloquently started describing what actually happened. And Radharani was shedding tears. At that time, Purnamasi, Jogamaya, came there. She's an elderly lady, dressed in red. So she asked, "What happened? Why my Radhika is shedding tears here?" So Kutila kept on telling her what actually happened. Like, although she couldn't catch Krishna red-handed, but she got him. She found in a hurry, Krishna forgot the flute. So Krishna was there in her room. Purnamasi started to laugh. "Such a serious matter and you're laughing?" Kutila shouted. Purnamasi told, "Oh, don't you know that last night there was a shower of flutes?" "Kutila, let's go to your room, let's see." And there she found 6 flutes on her. Jyotila, let's go to your room. There she found 24 floors. So this is how Purnamasi saved the situation. She continuously saved the situation in this way. But Radharani was totally embarrassed. She felt that although Purnamasi is saving me from this embarrassing and disgraceful situation, but I am not just. I have fallen in love with Krishna and I can't help it. I can't think of anyone besides Krishna. So I would rather give up my body. In this life, I am not getting Krishna, so I'll give up my body. So at that time, Krishna was on his mother's lap. So Krishna just fainted. No sign of life in Krishna's body. Mother Yashoda screamed. Nanda Maharaj came running. What happened? See what happened to Krishna. My child is lifeless. Please go and find a doctor. So Nanda Maharaj immediately ran out. And he saw that one one Ayurvedic doctor is coming. In Vedic culture, by the dress, one could make out who is who. So he said, "You must be a Vaid, you must be a doctor." "Yes, yes, I'm a doctor. What happened?" "You see, my son fainted. So can you please come and treat him?" "Oh, no problem. For what to speak of fainted child? I can even make a dead man alive." So he came, saw his pulse, saw him, and said, "Yes, serious condition. The only remedy for this is Jamuna water." "Oh, Jamuna water is right there." No, not just Jamuna water. This Jamuna water has to be carried in a bucket with 1,000 holes. How can anybody carry some water in a bucket of 1,000 holes? Yes, I know it's difficult. But a real chaste woman will be able to carry that water in a bucket of 1,000 holes. So Mother Yashoda said, okay, I'll go. No. If mother goes, then it won't work. So one after another, girls tried, and as soon as they pulled the bucket out of the water, out of the river, all the water drained out. And this doctor kept on, he seemed to be very, very concerned, very worried. "It seems in Vrindavan there is not a single chaste woman. Anyway, let me see if I can find any chaste woman here." So he drew some figures in the ground with a chalk and made some calculation. Yes, two names came up. Who are they? Jyotila and Kutila. So they all went to Jyotila and Kutila and told what happened. So they very proudly said, "Yes, that Vaid is a real Vaid. He knows what is what." So both of them just marched into that area. Kutila said, "Mother, why would you take the trouble? I will go and get the water." So she proudly took that bucket, went to the river, dipped it in the water. As she pulled it up, all the water drained out. Jyotila was upset beyond anyone's imagination. She started to scream, "You disgrace to the family. You better drown yourself in Jamuna. Don't come back." Then finally, she took the bucket and went there very proudly. put it in the water, again, as she pulled it up, all the water drained out. So the bait said, oh, very serious situation, what to do? Anyway, let me try some more. So he made some calculations. I found another name, Radhika. Jyotila and Kutila started to laugh aloud. Radhika, chest, give us a break. So, Mother Yashoda decided to go herself and went and told Radhika. Radhika said, please, I am already embarrassed beyond anyone's doubt. You know my reputation in Vrindavan. So why embarrass me even more? Mother Yashoda reasoned, Radhika, this is the only hope, you are the only hope for reviving Krishna. Please, for Krishna's sake, you come. So Radhika, with trembling feet and pounding heart, came there, picked up the bucket. With faltering steps, she went to the river, dipped the bucket, and as she pulled it up, not a single drop of water fell out of the bucket. So the water was brought to the doctor. He took some water, chanted some mantra, sprinkled it over Krishna's body. Krishna came back to life. So this is how iti driksha lilabhir ananda kunde shaghoshang nimajjantam akkappayantam. So who is the most chest personality in this world? Srimati Radharani. The famous chaste women are actually Sati, Parvati, etc. They all worship Srimati Radharani because she is the most chaste of all chaste ladies. Srimati Radharani ki, Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar ki, Bahulashtami Mahutsav ki, Shri Shri Radha Kund ki, Shri Shri Shyam Kund ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki, Gaur Premanande. Just take a few minutes if there is any comment or any question. Yeah? give the mic. How does this obstacle of yours compare to Arjun's obstacle when you were standing in the battlefield of Kurukshetra?
Significant.
Right. It's not that the devotional service is always going to be honky-dory. You know, there will be difficulties, and in spite of those difficulties, we'll continue to serve. And that is the sign of our sincerity. Krishna will test us. How serious are you? How deep is your love for me? How sincere is your commitment? But at the same time, we do experience joy, as you are saying. that in spite of all these difficulties, we can't give up. How many years you've been in the movement? Almost 40 years, right? So why are you still here? If you did not get some joy out of this involvement, why should you be here? Why should any one of us should be here? Rather, those who drift away because they think that there is some more enjoyment somewhere else, they are actually mistaken and they miss out on this ecstasy that a devotee experiences. In spite of all these difficulties, in spite of all these obstacles, in spite of all this humiliation, we carry on, and that is the source of our joy. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Badrinarayan Maharaj, would you like to comment? Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.